Picture a 5-year-old startup celebrating its explosive growth, 10% weekly for nearly 3 years. Then, one morning, Amazon announces they've copied your product, undercut your price by 30%, and brought their hundreds of millions of customers to the fight. This was Jim McKelvey's reality in 2014 when the e-commerce behemoth targeted Square, the credit card processing company he'd co-founded with Jack Dorsey. Most entrepreneurs would have updated their resumes. Instead, Square not only survived but thrived, eventually going public, while Amazon retreated. This seemingly impossible victory sparked McKelvey's obsession. What allows truly innovative companies to withstand attacks that would obliterate their competitors? His answer reveals something profound about how breakthrough businesses actually work and why the conventional wisdom about competition, pricing, and innovation is often dead wrong. Innovation begins with what McKelvey calls a perfect problem, not world hunger, but something smaller, personal, yet maddeningly unsolved. For McKelvey, it was losing a $2,000 glass art sale in 2008 because he couldn't accept American Express. Why couldn't his iPhone process credit card payments? Investigating the payments industry revealed deliberate confusion. Contracts spanned dozens of pages of impenetrable fine print. A Federal Reserve report showed small merchants paid 45 times more per dollar processed than large corporations. This wasn't an oversight, it was the business model. Their venture capital pitch began with a minor crime, using a crude prototype to charge each investor between $1 to $40 through their iPhone's headphone jack. This unprecedented demonstration captured immediate attention. They followed with a slide titled 140 Reasons Square Will Fail, listing every potential disaster from fraud to robot uprising. This honest examination transformed the typical adversarial dynamic into collaboration. But they weren't entirely honest about their true ambition. While they pitched helping existing small merchants, their real target was the invisible market, people completely excluded from the system, like McKelvey's colleague Bob, a talented glassblower who occasionally lived in his 1992 Chevy Corsica because artists couldn't access payment processing. Venture capital funds expansion, not exploration, so they pitched the known quantity while secretly planning to serve millions shut out entirely. When Square launched in 2009, three guys and a cat named Zoe worked from a San Francisco apartment. McKelvey's first discovery: guys, what we're doing is illegal. They'd reached that crucial moment, so that's why no one's done this before. He identified 17 rules, regulations, and laws they'd violate with each transaction. They faced dozens of problems, 5 requiring solutions that didn't yet exist. Solving these would build their innovation stack, not a plan strategy, but an organic response to existential threats. McKelvey flew to St. Louis to build a magnetic stripe reader connecting through the iPhone's microphone jack, circumventing Apple's expensive approval process. When MasterCard hesitated, a perfectly executed demo led to Ed McLaughlin noting they were violating operating regulations, then simply saying, "I guess we have to change our operating regulations." Everyone warned about the fraud dragon. Industry veterans insisted their model would fail because small merchants were too risky. But Square wasn't competing in existing markets. They were creating an entirely new one. When fraud attacks came, their massive transaction volume revealed patterns that made fraud predictable. Square developed over a dozen industry-first innovations: transparent single-percentage pricing, free sign-up, readers costing $97 versus the industry standard $950, no contracts, same-day settlement, and 2.75% rates when competitors charged over 4%. Each innovation seemed simple alone, but together they formed something nearly impossible to replicate, an interlocking system where each element only worked in conjunction with all others. When Amazon attacked in 2014 with overwhelming advantages, brand recognition, hundreds of millions of customers, and 30% lower prices, it seemed unwinnable. Yet Square kept growing at nearly 10% weekly. On Halloween 2015, Amazon retreated, mailing Square's card readers to their customers. McKelvey examined copying, the universal formula for success. Even Shake Shack's CEO admitted, "We didn't invent the hamburger. Copying is nature's answer to entropy. We're DNA copies of our parents. Babies learn by replicating sounds." But McKelvey realized an innovation stack isn't a list of changes. It's an integrated system where each element works only with all others. With Square's 14 elements, even if Amazon had an 80% chance of copying each one, the probability of replicating all 14 was just 4%. As Herb Kelleher told McKelvey about competitors studying Southwest for 30 years, they all took one thing out of 20, but actually it was our holistic mixture. Perfect copying creates stagnation. Systemic innovation creates an uncopyable advantage. McKelvey tested his innovation stack theory through historical examples. A.P. Giannini's Bank of Italy, later Bank of America, served people who don't use banks to become the world's largest bank. When the 1906 earthquake struck San Francisco, he smuggled gold out in vegetable carts while other banks closed for 6 months, immediately lending to rebuild the city. His innovation stack included 16 interrelated elements like branch banking and distributed ownership. IKEA's Ingvar Kamprad spent 5 years copying competitors until Swedish furniture sellers banned him from trade fairs, forcing him to innovate. At the Milan Fair, the contrast between elegant displays and ordinary Italian homes sparked his democratic design concept, leading to catalog showrooms, overseas manufacturing, and self-assembled furniture. Southwest Airlines fought through courts for 4 years before flying. When forced to sell one of their four planes, they implemented 10-minute turnarounds, requiring standardized fleets, batch boarding, open seating, and fringe airports, innovations that kept them profitable while competitors went bankrupt. Each case revealed the same pattern: entrepreneurs facing existential threats who built interlocking systems of innovation through necessity, not planning. The boundary between known and unknown resembles a medieval city wall. Inside lies safety, outside lies risk. Those who venture beyond are either entrepreneurs or corpses. Becoming an entrepreneur means leaving safety. As social creatures, we feel secure conforming, and striking out alone triggers instinctive fear. Successful entrepreneurs don't eliminate fear, they function despite it. Perseverance is their most common trait. Gianni would befriend, bully, or buy those in his way, but they were getting out of his way. What sustains entrepreneurs? Not money or fame. These are weak motivators we overvalue because they're measurable. Gianni was rich enough to retire at 31, but started a bank to help the little fellow. Problems are beautiful motivators. When you care deeply enough, your motivation becomes infinite. The key is finding problems you personally experience. After Square's IPO, McKelvey discovered that access to powerful people and resources proved surprisingly unhelpful for solving new problems. Like Michael Jordan's failed baseball career, having money and contacts only helps in games people already know how to play. For true entrepreneurship, everyone starts at zero. What differentiates entrepreneurs is simply their willingness to begin. Innovation stacks work for problems of any size and scale more easily when smaller. McKelvey shares examples. A friend diffused his son's tantrum by recruiting onlookers as a tantrum rating committee, and a construction company built a five-element innovation stack to successfully employ ex-offenders. When a coworker's son was murdered delivering pizza, McKelvey calculated that over 30,000 St. Louis residents below poverty had natural programming talent. He founded LaunchCode to address both the tech shortage and opportunity gap, another perfect problem. The world has countless problems waiting for solutions. Some may be perfect for you, problems shared by millions that no expert can solve. Expertise only exists within known territories. Outside established boundaries, there are no experts, just survivors and bones. Find a problem you care about, examine how others have approached it, and innovate when necessary. Build your own innovation stack, one solution at a time. The power that built world-changing companies is available to all of us. We simply need the courage to begin.